Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, only on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Friday, September 6th, and I'm not alone, but Charlotte is not here. She's out all week. We're wishing her a lot of good time. I think she went to weddings and parties and all kinds of things, so she's having a good time. But I'm definitely not alone today. I decided to invite a former co-host, who is Brigetta.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Brigetta. Welcome back in the old seat, huh?
It feels good to be in the old stomping grounds here.
I know. We love having you here. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And the reason I invited you is because our guest, who we're going to get to in just a minute, you've been associating and working with him, so that's pretty cool, you know. And you met him through the show and
through
stuff,
the show,
right?
Yeah.
So that was amazing. I know. So I thought this would be perfect, you know, rather than me sleeping in and stuff.
Well, I absolutely appreciate it because you know I get antsy sometimes. I miss the show. I miss you.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I know, because it's cool, right? I mean, you get up in the morning, you start talking
yep.
and laughing and stuff. I know it's
I think
pretty
it's
cool.
Your
you
own
know?
Sense of therapy in a sense, and I like the sound of my own voice. So.
Yeah. You're a natural for this. Yeah. Well, you have to come down every once in a while when you're in town and,
yeah.
you know, come in as a guest and stuff.
Thank
you. Know?
You.
That would be cool. So you moved out of town, right? You're not in L.A. anymore.
No, I'm in North Esty.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm still up here a lot. My sister just moved here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Samantha
just moved here.
Wow,
yep.
How cool.
I know.
So does she live near you now or
no,
is she in L.A.?
She's in L.A.,
oh,
actually.
Wow.
So I feel like I'm up here a lot seeing her. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm up here every, I'd say, 2 weeks or so.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So you're not a stranger to L.A.?
No, I'm not a stranger.
Okay.
I'm still dabbling in things
yeah.
here and there. Yeah.
What's the drive like? How long does it take to get to
L.A.?
It
depends on the time of day.
It does, huh?
I'd say hour and a half, but sometimes, yeah. like this morning, like 2.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's okay. You're on coffee.
Yeah.
I'm drinking coffee. I'm good.
Exactly. And you don't have to do it every day, so it's not
no.
a big deal. Yeah.
No. I do drive to Laguna, though, like twice a week. And that's
really?
Like 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah. So. Everything here is distances. You know?
I know.
What are you going to do, you know?
I know.
But so do you like San Diego better?
It's not that I like it better. It's just different.
Yeah.
I mean, I miss L.A. There's a lot of things that I do miss about L.A., but then
right.
there's a lot of things that I like about SD. So it's just a different place.
Though. Yeah, that's
yeah.
true. Yeah.
But I'm in school, so, you know.
Really? So tell us about that. What kind of school are you in?
Oh, gosh. Almost done massage therapy, thank goodness, because it's been a long time. And like,
that's true, huh?
Yeah,
you got into
me,
it some
like,
time ago.
Sticking to something for a long time is like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. So.
You stuck it out.
I stuck it out.
Well, you must really like it, then.
You know, it's all right. I don't see myself doing massages every single day. That's
no,
not,
huh?
I can't do it. I could do like one a day, maybe
yeah.
two a day, but that's, yeah.
Why, is it like tiring for, on your hands?
I get
stuff?
Bored.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's just a boredom thing.
Yeah, I
really? But yeah, I mean, whatever. So
yeah.
I also like the discovered nutrition, and I'm really into the whole nutrition side and the herbal side.
Wow,
and I'm doing
that's
hypnotherapy.
Cool.
So
really?
That's fun. Yeah, so that
oh,
I can hypnotize
cool.
people.
Well, you look pretty healthy and stuff, you know, so that's good.
Except for
so
my foot, which I re-injured.
Yeah, you re-injured, right?
And I
you
did.
Were, you were, for those of you who don't know, you just came back from Hawaii, right?
I was in Hawaii. I had a blast.
How long
yeah.
were you there for?
I was there for a little longer than a week, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did cool. you go to a couple of islands or just one?
I went to 2 islands. I went to Oahu and then Kauai.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Kauai is amazing.
Kauai
huh?
is absolutely incredible.
It's like paradise.
It's so beautiful. I'd never been there before, and I was just
really?
Blown away by the beauty of it. It's just, oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. I know. That's where they filmed Jurassic Park and Lost.
And they did Blue Lagoon there. We did, like, the boat ride. There's this tour you have to go on. It's Holo Holo Tours.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. It's this boat and, like, snorkeling tour. It's, like, 7 hours. But it's
wow.
awesome. Takes you all around the Nepali coast, and we snorkeled. We saw all kinds of crazy fish that I've never seen. We went shark cage diving.
Really?
Which was really fun.
Why am I not surprised?
It was so awesome. I love sharks.
Yeah?
I think they're just the most incredible
really?
Creatures.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was actually funny because so we were in the shark tank, and we're down there, and they're like, well, the sharks actually sense energy. So if you have a camera, which we had a GoPro, they can actually hear your GoPro, and they'll come up. So I thought it was actually funny to see if we could do reactivity. traveling, actually, down below. And I did. And I was with my boyfriend's daughter, too. She was with us. So we were like underwater. We're like, let's do it. And so we did. And actually, this big, huge, pregnant shark came. Wow. It was incredible. And I was like, see, look, it's working. This is so cool. And like they were coming up closer. And like there were like five sharks that were circulating. It was all on camera. So it was awesome.
Very cool. I would imagine it's pretty cool, huh, to come that close to a shark.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and they look like so cute and sweet. You just really? Want to like pet it. But
were they like smaller sharks, those?
They were about like 5 to 7 feet. The mama was pretty big.
Really?
Yeah, she was like 10 feet or something.
Yeah.
And she was fat. And they tag them. So they know how far they go and which ones are there and stuff. So
really? So those sharks like stick around the same area all the time?
They kind of do, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, but I thought it was cool.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
There's another thing called Outfitters Hawaii, which is another thing you guys should check out. It's totally cool. Mm-hmm. The problem was it was a hike, so that was interesting with my foot. So I didn't really hike. I hobbled part of the way. And two zip lines, and then, which I did not do, I opted out because it was crazy. I mean, like, they literally had you go on the zip line, you think you're, like, going to get off, and they trick you, and then you're left hanging. And they have to come and get a ladder on this platform, and they have to, like, lower the line for you to come back. And you're hanging, like, I don't know how many feet, like, way over the rainforest, over a canyon. And it's, like, I'm watching this like, oh my god, I'm so glad I didn't do this. I'm so glad. This is craziness.
I can't imagine you'd be afraid of something.
I know,
like
but
that.
I had a hurt foot too. Yeah, I'm like, thank God. So you have to like pull you in, and like after they pull you in, you have to climb down this huge ladder off this platform and like come down. It was just like, wow, that is extreme ziplining. And then they had like this little like swimming areas where like the Royal Hawaiians went swimming. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool, and you could like jump off platforms, and so it was fun.
It is fun. And you were in Waikiki too, right?
Yeah.
That's fun too, like when you want touristy stuff and that.
When you want to do touristy stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just want to drink.
Yeah,
there
exactly. So it's good to go there and then to another quiet island, you know, like Maui or Kauai and stuff. And then you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Really, you know?
I mean, it's just so beautiful Kauai was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, I'm happy for you. I'm dying to go to Hawaii. I've been there many times, but I haven't been in a long time. Mm-hmm. So I'm dying to go. So how was the weather there? Was it pretty nice?
It was beautiful. And that was what was great, too, is like they had said that for the tours, usually it's so windy. Like the boat actually went inside of a cave. And they said it was so windy normally they can't do that. And Pirates of the Caribbean, part of it was filmed there, too. So it was really neat to like see the cave where that was filmed and stuff. And but there was a storm the last day we were leaving. The storm was early. There was no storms the whole time we were there except for nighttime, which was really neat to like, you know, have the doors open and watch the storm. But the last day we were leaving, it rained during the day. I'm like, thank God. It was like the last day, and like, you know, we were leaving that day, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, and but when it rains, it really pours there,
it pours. But I mean, it's quick. It's like, you know,
because this reminds me, on the last trip I went, also the last morning we were there before we were going to the airport, the storm started and it was pouring. You couldn't even walk outside.
I think it's kind of sexy in a way.
It is. I love rain. I mean, I love rain.
Like, we had, like, the sliding glass door open. Like, you could hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
Very
like,
nice.
Over the ocean. Yeah.
Cool. So, what are you doing these days? So, you do massage. What else do you do with your time?
Doing massage, in school for hypnotherapy, so I can hypnotize everyone and do whatever I want.
Wow, that's
kidding.
Cool.
I'm kidding. Not really. And I'm doing yoga training.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it.
That's cool. So you got into spiritual stuff in that. So it's pretty cool, you know.
You know.
Fun. Which leads us to our guest.
Yeah.
So let's bring in our guest now, and we'll explain how you're connected and everything. And we have Dr. Eric Pearl in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And you're always looking sharp and everything, which is cool.
He always looks sharp.
Right?
He always has the best outfit.
Yeah. Well, he's in the public eye. You know, you have to impress people. You know, you have to look like you respect yourself, right? When you leave the door in the morning.
You know, that's a really lovely way to couch the issue that I'm simply a little bit of a fashion whore. I like clothes.
Well, that's a good thing, you know. I mean, some people walk around with like shorts and sandals all day, and it's like, where's your fashion sense at all?
Yeah, that's down in San Diego.
Really?
Like, I think I lost it for a bit, and then I'm like, I don't feel good about myself now. I need to start dressing up again.
You know, it is funny though. Like different climates in different places do have different very varying degrees
of
fashion sense. It's like in Miami, it's casual to a point.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's the less you wear.
In Israel, if you wore a torn T-shirt, you're overdressed.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
So it just like depends on where you're going.
Yeah, because it's too hot. You see, in Israel, it gets very humid. You don't really want to put on a lot of clothes in the summer, you know. So so welcome to the show, Eric. Really nice to have you back.
It's
and you brought Diana
here.
With you also. I just want to make sure people know Diana's here. Say hi, Diana.
Hello.
Okay, so she's here. She's just busy.
Always busy.
Yeah. So Eric, it was interesting because you were on the show. What was it like? 2 years ago,
I
you think, Brigetta?
It was 2 years.
Yeah.
It might have been 3 years, even.
It was two or three.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
And I remember,
obviously,
we were the.
Obviously, I must have offended someone.
Why is that?
I'd have been back sooner.
No, I don't think so. Because when your publicist contacted us immediately, I wanted you to come on the show. So hardly is the case at all there. And
we love you.
Definitely. And so when you came on the show the first time, Brigetta was here as the co-host.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we came in and we didn't really know who Eric was, you know. And he's pretty well known around the world and stuff. And we didn't know. And he was sort of like, you don't know who I am. And, you know, we obviously didn't do our research that day.
I don't think, but it was, I've heard of him before and I wasn't sure like what exactly it was. And, you know, and I when I experienced how it felt, how the energy felt, I was like, this is so cool. And then after like the interview, I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I have to go.
Right.
So.
And that's it. And Eric, you introduced us to something new called The Reconnection. I'm sorry. Tell us a little bit about that. What is that?
Well, The Reconnection is what is considered by many, if not most people out in the world of healing and the world of science, to be an expanded level of energy healing that frees us from complex techniques and fear-based rituals and protections and allows us to move beyond the known energy healing techniques that we've had here, such as Reiki and Qigong, and not only the old ones but all the new ones as well, into something more comprehensive, more immediate, and much more freeing. I mean, everything obviously is energy. Your energy, I'm energy, the desk and the table where we're sitting right now is energy. And what we've been doing in our energy healing techniques is accessing little subsets or portions of that energy. But what we're able to do today is transcend technique entirely so we can access not just subsets any longer, not just the Reiki subset or the Qigong subset or of energy, but all the energy that's been here. And because where we are existing in this bubble of time in the universe, quantum physics explains to us that our bubble of time is expanding. It allows us to even move beyond all of the energy we used to be able to access into new levels of light and information. And it's just so exciting because you can talk about this on the simplest level or on the most complex level. And on one hand, still never fully get it. And on the other hand, find out that we actually all have gotten it and understood it all along, but for one reason or another, we've just been holding ourselves back from accessing it and becoming it.
I see. And a lot of people, I mean, you know, in their normal lives and stuff, are not really aware of all this energy and stuff. You know, we just go about our lives and everything, and we don't really pay attention to that. But you decided to focus on that and make people actually take advantage of all that energy that's out there, tap into it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm thinking about what you're saying, and I'm agreeing with it. Was it what I was saying? I don't know, but I'm definitely in agreement with it.
That was my understanding.
I play with the word decided because, at some point I did, but it wasn't necessarily the beginning point, because the beginning point had nothing to do with me planning or deciding this. You could say I discovered this, or you could sort of say that this came and tapped me on the shoulder, because I was practicing as a doctor of chiropractic when this first came about, and I'd been practicing for 12 years and Then a few strange things happened. A lamp turned itself on next to my bed and woke me up. I felt as if there were people in my house. I went looking for them, couldn't find them. I went into my office on that Monday. My patients started having healings, getting up out of wheelchairs, vision and hearing returning, gaining the use of arms and legs. Kids with cerebral palsy or epilepsy were suddenly able to walk and run and play and not have seizures, not need medications. This all happened without me even touching them, but just holding my hands near them. Their bodies went into involuntary movements. So when you say you decided, it's sort of like this came along and gently gave me something in between a kiss on the cheek and a slap on the face.
Right.
So there it was, baby.
But there was the decision of starting Reconnection, right? I mean, that was something you decided to do with the gift that you have.
What I did was I discovered this, and I viewed it as a gift. And, of course, it is a great gift.
Right.
But when we think of a gift, we are so used to thinking of ourselves as unique individuals. And I ran the gamut. First, I thought of this as a gift that must be mine, but must belong to many people.
Right.
So I went out looking to all the healers I could find, famous and not so famous, around the world for insights into this, because I figured other people must be doing the same thing. Wow. And what I found was there were a lot of people out there doing healing.
Oh, wow.
Some of them were really doing healing. Some of them were not doing healing any more special than anyone else. But all of them had advice and information. Mm. All of them said, you know, move your hands clockwise, except the ones that said move your hands counterclockwise. Some of them said use this set of magical healing symbols in the air. Some of them said use that set. Some of them said do this. Some of them said do that. Protect yourself this way. Bring in crystals. Bring in statues. And I started doing all these things these people were telling me to do. And the funny thing is that the more things I did, the less and less the healings were coming through. And what I also began to notice is that there were many, many, many people out there saying that they were doing the same thing. And as I said, some of them were doing parts of this, but none of them were doing all or even most of it. Mm. So then I went from thinking everyone must be, or lots of people must be, to it finally came that this seemed to be something unique that was happening through me. So I started doing what I eventually came to term reconnective healing 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, until I started to realize that my patients would call me up after they had healing sessions with me, and they'd say, what did you do? I said, what do you mean? They said, well, I drove home, and I pulled up in front of my house. My automatic garage door started to open and close by itself. My TV or lamp started turning itself off and on and off and on. I felt sensations in my hands. I held them by my aunt, my grandfather, my uncle, whatever, and they started having healings from all these things, and that's when we began to discover that this was not, the word I would not use necessarily was teachable. What this was transmittable to others. You could communicate it to others. And then the teaching isn't how to heal. The teaching is how to become familiar enough with this work that it becomes second nature. And right now, as of this point, I've trained close to 100,000 people around the world. I will tell you, for the first 2 years, I was worried. I thought, what if people couldn't learn it? Now I've trained close to 100,000 people around the world, hospitals and universities. I speak at the United Nations, to governments. I teach grand master technique energy healers how to let go of their techniques, but mainly we teach the public how to do it. And the funny thing is so far, I've not found one, not one person who hasn't been able to learn this. Apparently, this is so easy to learn that everyone can learn it. And what becomes the challenge is that great, magnificent, evolved energy healing technique masters can't reach the level of work that you or the mainstream person is able to access with reconnective healing until they let go of their techniques. Mm. So the funny thing is that, for example, November 7th through the 11th, I'm going to be teaching this work in San Diego. And by the end of that weekend, if you or anyone listening to the show, you come to that seminar, by the end of that seminar, I can pretty much promise you two things, which is going to sound really outside of our belief system, which is A, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of this healing world that I can do. And B, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of what we consider energy healing that any human being on this planet can do, whether they've mastered 25 different techniques or whether they've just come out with the latest book of a brand new technique, because the techniques itself have been our limitations. Like the training wheels on bicycles help us find our balance on a bicycle, but you can't master the bicycle itself until you remove them. Our energy healing techniques allow us to become masters of energy healing techniques, but until we transcend those training wheels, the training wheels of technique, we'll never master healing ourselves. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we here to master the bicycle with training wheels or to master the bicycle itself? Are we here to master yet more energy healing techniques, or are we here to master healing itself?
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, Brigitta, what was it that attracted you to this? I mean, obviously, you like connected with reconnection, right?
Yeah. And you know, I had done Reiki before, and it was a lot of things to learn. It was all these like symbols and stuff, and I'm like, I got confused, and I'm like, what if I do it the wrong way? And it was like all this stuff. So when I went to the seminar and I realized it was just that simple, and it was hard to let go of, you know, because I like my crystals. Now I realize they're just pretty. They're just there to look at. But well,
They are pretty.
Yeah.
You're right. They're two things. I have them too in my home. Why? Not because they make us more. Not because they make us better. And not because they protect us or any of the other superstitions around that. I have them because they're beautiful pieces of nature, just like you have trees and plants and other things. And, you know, this every cell in our body, the wall surrounding every cell in our body is a liquid crystalline structure. Mm-hmm. We already naturally know how to adjust and adapt and become the crystals. So as soon as we can... We can look at crystals. Let's try it this way. We can look at crystals and allow them to serve as reminders of different energy frequencies and other things, because they carry energy frequencies just as everything does. I hate to tell you this, but the chair that you're sitting on carries energy frequencies too. They're reminders to us, but what we tend to do is we give away our internal power to those external objects. We think that the crystal makes us more, the crystal makes us better, the crystal protects us from something, and we give away the abundance of our own internal power to these external objects instead of allowing them to serve as reminders of who we are here to become. External power is transient. You lose a crystal, it breaks. You give it away. But internal power is always ours. But we can't access who we are fully as long as we buy into the illusion that we are dependent upon something outside of us. And I didn't mean to interrupt your crystal analogy, but I
no, I'm glad you did.
Well, she found something beyond that, so that's good.
And I mean, it absolutely has changed my life. I mean, look, I was in entertainment since I was, I don't know, 13, 14 years old, and now I'm living in San Diego and going back to school. Like, it's so many, my whole path has completely changed, and it does do that. And actually, do you want to explain the difference between the reconnection and reconnective healing? Or actually, you can just come to the seminar and you can.
Yeah, exactly. Don't give away too much.
But I guess I do have a question, because I get this all the time, and I talk about reconnective healing, and people are always like, "Well, what is I do Reiki and or I do like in massage school we have to do Qigong." I'm sorry, I hate Qigong. I hate it with a passion. It is so boring, and I know it's a beautiful art to some people, and I get so frustrated and bored with it. I'm like,
well, you have to understand too now. People who teach Qigong here teach various aspects of it. There are more than hundreds. There are thousands of different things of Qigong. I know that when I brought these seminars to Ares in China, the first thing is they're so used to thinking that everything is Qigong. They came in and said, it's Qigong. It's another form of Qigong. Until they experienced it, they went, oh, my God. This is not just Qigong.
Right.
Wow. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to say that I turn around and hate it. What I don't feel that we need anymore are the complexities, the methods, the techniques, the steps. Just as you said, I hope I'm doing it right because I hope I'm not doing it wrong. Trying to do it right is really the pretty side of the fear of doing something that's wrong. But think of a gorgeous, immense tapestry, like a Persian carpet or something. And you look at the colors and you see there are incredible greens, various greens and blues and pinks, reds, and purples. And here are some gold threads and silver threads. And they're all threads, and every thread is exquisite. And we've been focusing in on subsets of energy as if we're focusing in on various threads. So there's a Qigong thread to the tapestry of what we reconnect to with reconnective healing. The Jinshin thread, the Jorei threads, and they're gorgeous. But here's the funny thing. With individual threads, you can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
With threads, you can put together a garment. But the individual threads won't keep you dry or warm in the rain or in the cold. The carpet has to have the threads woven together. If we say, I don't like the Qigong thread, what do? We pull it out of the tapestry. Mm-hmm. If we say, I don't like this thread, we pull it out. And what happens, the more threads we pull out, the more we lose the integrity, and I'm using that word intentionally, because there's integrity, meaning the quality, the substance of it holding together, and there's integrity as in personal integrity. Right. So the more we pull out these individual threads of Qigong and Jinshin and Jorei, the more we lose the integrity of this beautiful Persian carpet, this tapestry that we're able to access now through reconnective healing. So everything is a part of it. People say, oh, well, is it different than Reiki? No, it's not different. It's more.
Mm.
So you're saying, oh, is it better? No. If it were better, then I would use the word better. Mm-hmm. But it is more. So let's say, for instance, we've been working with an energy healing. And within energy, we've had Reiki and Qigong and all the different techniques. So we've had let's give energy a color. We'll give it blue. So we've had Reiki blue, Qigong blue, baby blue, powder blue, sky blue. We've had the blues. Great. What does reconnective healing do for us? Well, first of all, instead of parts of the blues, we have all of the blue, but then we expand beyond energy into new levels of light. So let's give light another color, give it yellow. And information, the way science is explaining it, and nonverbal information, so we'll give it another color, we'll give it red. Now we have blue, yellow, and red. Mm-hmm. Are yellow or red better than blue?
No.
No. But are they more?
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm. Not only that, now we don't even just have blues. Now we don't even just have blues, reds, and yellows. But by combining them, we get purples and greens and golds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's more.
More than the sum of its parts, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So what we tend to do here is, because everything is linear, if we think of tall as good, we think of short as bad. If we think of less as bad, then we think of more as
good.
Better or
right.
good. Mm-hmm. And in reality, more is its own word. It means more. It doesn't mean better. More is also more appropriate. I mean, think 200 years ago, if we wanted to cross the continent of the United States, what might we do? Get some horses, a little covered wagon. Mm-hmm. We'd travel across the continent. What would we do at night when it got dark? We'd hang little lanterns with a candle in it. They were perfectly fine. Today, if you want to drive across the continent, you're not going to put a candle in a lantern. It would blow out with high speed or bad weather. Now, are headlights better, or are they just more? And we think, well, God, they're better. Really? Because let's say you're driving from Los Angeles to Philadelphia because you've met a new special love in your life. You show up in Philly, you find the most exquisite romantic restaurant in the world, you meet them, you haven't seen them for a while, you're sitting at the table having a lovely dinner. What don't you want lighting the table? You don't want headlights, do you? Suddenly, they're not so much better. There are still more, but they're not so much better. Now, the candles are more appropriate, but isn't it nice we have the option? And what happens with reconnective healing is you don't need to know any of the techniques. You don't need to figure out the individual threads because the healings are orchestrated by the intelligence of God, the intelligence of love, the intelligence of the universe. So when you need the Reiki frequencies, they are there. When you need the Qigong frequencies, don't hate them, love them. Thank God that they're there. But isn't it wonderful that we don't have to try to go through all those different steps and things to find them? And that's probably the part that you didn't like doing, because something inside of you, your truth, your knowingness, your essence, your integrity said, Brigetta, wake up. We don't have to do it this way any longer.
Very interesting. Now, so let's speak a little bit about your organization and everything. So what's it called? The Reconnection?
The Reconnection.
And how many people are involved in this? I mean, that are working for you and stuff? How many do you
Maybe
know?
Maybe about a dozen people.
A dozen people.
Well,
wow.
It depends on how you want to view it. In our office in L.A., there are about a dozen people. But when we teach, because most of the time, maybe 30-some weeks a year, I'm on the road traveling around the world teaching. We have teaching assistants that come in to our different seminars from around the globe. So we've got trained in the way of teaching assistants maybe somewhere between about 120 and 150.
I see. And those are usually the locals, right? They're the local?
Well, they're not just locals.
Not necessarily.
Yes, there's a high percentage of locals and a very large number of people who fly in from around the world who just live to be teaching assistants in reconnective healing and you know, teachers at various levels of it. So wherever we are for, well, I'm going to London tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So this is not a good example. In London, obviously, there'll be people in English. But in other countries, like when I get to Germany or when I get to Portugal or wherever we're going next, we have a large number of teaching assistants who are native language speakers. But we have a large number of teaching assistants who fly in from different countries. So what happens is, because my main language is English, I always teach in English, but we have translators and everyone's given headsets so you can hear it in the language of the country. You can get your teaching and your private questions, answers, and things from the teaching assistants who speak the language. But sometimes our seminars look like the United Nations.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Seven, eight, nine
Sounds
languages
like
at a
time. Yeah. Well, yeah. Very cool. It's very cool. And Diana, how did you discover all this?
Yeah, how did you get involved?
Yeah, how did you find out about? Because you've been with Eric for a while, right?
5 years now.
5 years. Get closer to the mic.
Well, it's something that I never thought I would do in a million years. I had never even heard of Reiki, so I say the universe.
Really?
I was just putting my resume out. I was waiting to get on TV.
Really? So you sent the resume in Eric Hardy
to be his assistant. Wow. And you know, I interviewed, and I thought, well, I'll just do this until I get on TV. Right. And then it totally changed my life.
Wow, amazing.
And people at my office had interviewed her, and then they said, well, you know, they knew I had to speak with her, so I called her up. At the time, I was in Norway. It was winter solstice, you know, right around Christmas, New Year's and everything. I remember standing there freezing in the snow. I mean, you walk out for a few minutes in that snow, you come back in, and it's an hour before you're warm again. Wow. But we chatted on the phone, and we clicked, and we figured it would work, so we gave it a shot.
Very nice. So it's been
I'm
a few
not sure
years
yet.
Now. We'll figure it out. Yeah. It's a slow process to figure out if you get along with someone, right?
I feel like you guys are like brother and sister sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. Good. So you wrote a book, or a couple books. You just brought your new one. So the first one is The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself. And what is this book? So is this like the basic book of what you've been talking about now?
Yes. The Reconnection is it's an international bestseller in its field in about 39 languages. It's an evergreen. It just remains on the bestseller list. And what it does, Well, you see, I don't like to read. Isn't that terrible? I can still feel my mother cringing when I say that. Don't tell people you don't like to read. I don't like to read. So the last thing I ever thought is that I would see my name on the cover of a book. But what happened was I gave a little presentation talking about this work, and someone audio taped it and sent it in to Hay House, our publisher, who said, write a book. I said, I don't know how to write a book. They said, well, do it like this. Take the first third of the book, write about your discovery of reconnective healing and some of your early life growing up. So I did. Take the second portion of the book and write about the philosophy and the understanding of it and your insights on it. So I did. Take the third portion of the book and make it into a basic how-to. So to ask you a question, the third portion of the book is a basic how-to where you can begin to learn how to do this work. Now, I'm emphasizing the word begin because there's only so much you can learn from a book. I mean, do you want to go to a brain surgeon who learned everything from a book? Or yeah, would no. you like to go to a brain surgeon who also had live teachers working with them saying, no, do this, angle your hand this way. Isn't this nicer? Can you see that? Mm-hmm. So what happens is you can learn how to begin to take better care of your own health and your family's health just from reading the book, just like you can read a book on dentistry or hairstyling, take better care of your own and your family's hair and teeth, but you're not a dentist and right. you're not a hairstylist yet.
Right.
Then what we do with the seminars, we have brand new seminars this year. They're different than all the ones we've been teaching all these years. Mm-hmm. And what we'll do is, let's say we're in San Diego, so there's a Friday night 3-hour presentation. We talk about the history, the theory, the philosophy, the science of the work. We bring up volunteers from the audience, give live demonstrations of the healings. We allow everyone there to feel this in your hands, so you'll be able to do that. We begin now to even teach you how to start to work with it on that Friday night. Then we do Saturday and Sunday, which is called the level one portion of the seminar, the basic how-to. So you can advance beyond what you're able to do just from reading the book and learn how to do this on a basic non-professional level, mostly self-related healing. But, you know, you begin, as I said, to take better care of yourself and your family. For people who want to become professionals, we continue this work on that Monday and Tuesday. So that would be November 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And that way we teach you how to bring a great deal of healing to others as well as yourself, how to do distance healing. We bring in people from outside of the healing seminar who've never been exposed to this work, and you begin to work on real people that you've never right. met. When you do distance healing, we allow you to call people anywhere around the world, talk to them before, then do the distance healing, then talk to them afterwards, find their experience. And we work on massage tables, so as you stand there and work, you begin to see people's bodies go into involuntary movements that we mm-hmm. talked about, fingers moving, arms and legs jumping, eyes darting back and forth. And as I said, by the end of the complete seminar, you'll be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that I or anyone on this planet can do. It doesn't matter whether they've mastered 30 techniques and practiced for 45 years.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Now, for those of you just joining us, we're speaking to Dr. Eric Pearl, and he's the founder of The Reconnection. And you guys can check out more at TheReconnection.com. And there's dates for all the seminars and everything that's coming up.
Well, there's all calendar filled with dates, because let me tell you, I don't know them. All I know is that somewhere between tonight and tomorrow, I've got to stuff all my clothes into two suitcases. And from there, we're going to present in London and Dublin and Lisbon and Hamburg and I don't
know. Can you fit me
else.
In your suitcase for Dublin? Because I want to go.
It's a lot of fun. It's definitely a lot of fun.
Do you ever get to enjoy the places you go to, or is it just work?
Not as much as I want to, but left alone, sometimes I end up finding I spent the whole time there inside of a hotel.
Yeah.
But at least with some people, Diana or someone like that, we go, all right, we've got to at least go out tonight or find a restaurant or go out during the day and at least see this piece of scenery or that piece of scenery or something.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from all these travels, you want to have some kind of memories, you know, the places too. You know?
I remember a lot of things, but there are a lot more things that I'd like to see.
Yeah. So you brought in your new book. Solomon Speaks on Reconnection and Reconnecting Your Life. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the book. So how does this expand on the first one? Is it like the next step? Where does it fit in?
It's a funny little story. what happened was it's something I actually sort of kept a secret for about 20 years until I finally decided to share it. Because when these healings first started happening, I would hold my hands near my patients. And as I said, their bodies would jump and move and they'd have these healings. But the part of the story I didn't talk about a whole lot was that there was a 3-month period of time where over 50 of my patients, when I held my hands near them, lost consciousness. And they spoke 6 verbatim phrases. They said, "We are here to tell you to continue doing what you were doing. What you were doing is bringing light and information onto the planet. What you were doing is reconnecting strands. What you were doing is reconnecting strings." Those were the first 4 of the 6 phrases. And it went on. And then that happened for 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, it stopped coming through everyone except for the very first patient, Fred Ponsloff. Uh-huh. And so I continued to spend time with this intelligence, this voice that had been coming through everyone word for word and continued through the first one, through Fred. And we recorded the sessions, later transcribed them, and finally we became brave enough, or the time just became right, that we put these together into a book of information that we'd been holding on to for all of this time. So it's sort of as if you can say the first book, The Reconnection, is what allows you to become an instrument of a greater new level of healing. The second book, Solomon Speaks, is what allows us to fine-tune ourselves as that instrument and learn to better play that instrument. Now, I can talk about this all I want, but I think maybe it's better if I take a little segment and share it with you.
Okay.
All right, let's do that.
Even though you hate reading, you're going to read some for us.
Well, actually, I saw him when he was in Newport last year. Fred came and spoke, and it was amazing. Like, I remember I had tears in my eyes when I was, like, hearing some of the things he was saying.
So really?
It was really
incredible.
That's
the patient?
That's Fred, and that's what,
He's the co-author of Solomon Speaks.
Okay.
The voice, the intelligence of Solomon started coming through Fred and through 50 other of my patients. Then it stopped after 3 months coming through everyone, but it continued through Fred. The same words, the same voice, the same intelligence, but in continued expansion. So here's an example. There is a lot that needs to be said in various ways. We understand ourselves in a limited fashion, and we need to carry this understanding as a life process. It is the unveiling of a multifaceted force within our lives. We need to peel away the exterior so that the internal being shines through to those we are working with. This eternal soul that resides in our framework is being covered up in many ways by our fears and apprehensions. The soul fights its way through these fears, yet we, out of fear, try to keep it cloistered or protected so we remain feeling safe, because it feels very dangerous for us to reveal our souls to others. It's the most vulnerable that we become. And so in your work, and now this is the funny part about the book, so we hear "in your work," and we start to think this is speaking to healers. Yes, but we think this is speaking to healers only. No. Because in our work as a healer, but really in our work to evolve as to greater beings and human beings and greater levels of connecting with our soul, each of us has work on this planet to do. So take this consciousness and realize that these words were not just spoken to me, Eric Pearl, but it's spoken to everyone learning to access a greater level of consciousness and evolution on this planet. So I read the sentence, and in your work, that is what you need to do. You need to unveil your soul. It is not a simple process.
and this stripping away of ego is an eternal process. This selflessness that must shine through the being. It can reach in without interference from other sects of energy or other frameworks of your mind. Your mind interferes in the process. The flow of unveiling that soul, that presentation of your core energy, that pure light, that is the soul in its most idyllic form. For once that pure force shines through without it being refracted by various mindsets, it will flow in a more direct manner. Once you allow your soul, that egoless purity, to come through, it is a common denominator, almost in that it has the ability to automatically fuse with the frequency of the person for whom you're facilitating the healing. So your job in this process is to strip away the defenses, to strip away the mind, to strip away the control mechanisms, the techniques that you have in this plane. Let them go. Let them be part of an exterior that has nothing to do with you, and present that soul in the room. It will automatically do the work. That energy is the common universal language of the cosmos. It is understood immediately and is felt intrinsically.
Wow, amazing. Well, that's a lot of stuff to take in. And why don't you guys go ahead and promote everything that's coming up? Where can people get more information? How can they attend those seminars or workshops, whatever you call them? Diana?
Well, they can definitely go to thereconnection.com. And I just want to say this real quick. Because San Diego is coming up November 7th, and I am one of the promoters. So
really?
Yes.
Wow.
And you'll see flyers everywhere, my tweets and my Facebook, and I'm going to be out there blasting it. So
Very cool.
Yeah, so when you go to thereconnection.com, you can click, you know, you can do the seminar. You can go, come to the Friday night, and you guys can get a feeling of it, and you can come to the entire seminar. And click my name. Mm-hmm. And any other questions that you guys have, please contact me. You can tweet me, Facebook me, email, call me, no matter what, whatever it is, I will answer your questions. So please do so. And then, of course, they've got, you know, all their other dates if you're in other countries. I know we've got a lot of other listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
Other countries other listening. Countries
too. We're going to be in Vancouver. So okay. That'll be another English seminar.
There you go.
That's September
7th. October 17th.
October 17 is the Friday night. The first level is October 18 and 19, and the second level continues 20 and 21. We're also speaking at in Pasadena at the Hay House I Can Do It event.
When October is that? 25th.
October 25th. That's a Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I'll be presenting there, and there'll be a lot of wonderful Hay House speakers then too, so you can get a feel of this and a flavor of it. It's the I Can Do It presentation, and it's the weekend of, I think, October 24, 25, 26, but I'm speaking that afternoon, Saturday, October 25, and then that's leading up to the November 7 through 11th seminar in San Diego.
Yep.
Very cool. I see you're even going to be in Amsterdam next year and stuff. So if you guys are there, you know, go get some cannabis and go to the seminar.
It's going to be
amazing. High. Yeah, I'm just kidding. But yeah, don't do it at the same time. But, you know, Eric, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
A lot of fun, a lot of great information. And Diana, thank you for joining us as well. Very fascinating. I'm definitely going to have to catch one of those seminars. You know what I mean? I've heard so much about it. Brigetta talks about it. So I need to see what it's about. Yeah, I know. I'm planning to. So San Diego in November, go to thereconnection.com and find out everything about it. Dr. Eric Pearl, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me again.
Of course. Brigetta, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me as well. And don't forget, you guys can tweet me at Real Brigetta, and you guys can also tweet at The Reconnection.
There you go. And find out everything. There's Facebook and all that stuff. So thank you all for joining us. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.